Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show. It's for you, those of you that work so hard for your money, and you want your money to start working harder for you right now. You want that freedom and cash flow today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, so you live that life that you love with those that you love. But most importantly, guys, it's not just about being rich. It's about creating a rich life. Because as you're blessed financially, you have a greater capacity to create a ripple effect through the lives of others. Thank you so much for allowing me to create a ripple effect through you. I appreciate you guys tuning in. You've been binging, sharing, and you guys have been reaching out. I'm going to even tell you right now, like if you're wondering how you can actually start taking these podcasts and applying it to your life, right? You really want this to actually work. And maybe you've been binging on these podcasts forever. I invite all of you, reach out to us, go to the passive income calculator, try it out at moneyripples.com, see what your passive income number is and see what kind of passive income you can create in the next year. And if it's a good number, I'm saying if it's at least 15, 20,000 a year or more, reach out to our team, contact us and say, I want an official cash flow evaluation. In fact, I just had my birthday just a few weeks ago, and I just announced those of you on my email list, we're actually taking on 10 new clients, just 10. But here's the cool thing. This is for September of 2022. In case you're listening in October, it's too late. But if this is September 2022, if you're one of those 10 chosen, not only will you get the typical consulting process to help you be able to create financial independence within the next 5 or 10 years, but also we throw in a bonus meeting with me personally, Chris Miles. That's my name in case you weren't sure. With me personally, I'll also be putting my eyes on your individual situation as well. So be sure to reach out to us today. Contact us through our website at moneyripples.com. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income, from making at least double-digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually return double-digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. If you want to learn more about that, go check out SecuredInvestmentCorp.com. That's Secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, guys. So I've had a fun few weeks already. We've kind of gone in a pattern with the ones that I've done personally. We've talked about 529 plans and how they've been in danger. We talked about that article that came out. And even more so as we've seen the market come down, just like I predicted when we talked about 401ks. All right. And I put those under scrutiny a little bit and talked about how even with the match, it does not necessarily give you what you need. By the way, we've seen the market correct a little bit since mid-August, just like I had said, just like I had warned many people already, it's bouncing back downwards. Now, in the next few weeks, maybe it settles a little bit because I'm recording this the day before my birthday, end of August here. And so I'm just turning 45 tomorrow. Yay, happy birthday, Chris. In any case, the cool thing with this is that I want to continue this conversation. Now, not just 529 plans or 401ks, but now I want to put the whole thing. I want to put all of retirement planning under fire. Now, I'm not necessarily targeting any financial advisors in this, even though they support this very thing that we're talking about. But I really want to go after the retirement planning model, what we're told to do, which is to save at least 10 or 20% a year. And hopefully, and even if you get those, that little match from your employer, which we know doesn't equate to a whole lot, but even if you do, this should lead to something. Well, I want to put this under trial. Just like this were in court, I want to know that there's evidence that these retirement plans have been working. And two, I want to know if there's witnesses, right? Are there good key witnesses saying that retirement plans work? And I'm not talking about these exceptions to the rule, but I actually am going to share with you towards the end here. You're actually going to hear about 4 real life scenarios, not people I know, but actually taken from the Wall Street Journal from an article that just came out the day before I'm recording this, where 4 retirees that saved into the millions, yet still had some concerns about their retirement. And so I want to really put this under fire and give it a fair shot, because there are some things that about retirement planning that have worked. For the most part, it's a lot of overpromising, under-delivering, as you'll see here. All right, so I'm going to start sharing my screen. I want to start out first and foremost is, what's the actual average 401k balance, right? What is it? Now, it's really hard to find the total retirement savings that people have. Many companies like Fidelity or Vanguard track the 401k balances, and that's easy to do when you're with an employer, but they don't necessarily know how to count old IRAs and other old 401ks and other savings you have in the queue here. Now, I'm focusing primarily on retirees because I want to take the people that have been saving really for the last almost 40 years now. Just so you know, the 401k became more mainstream starting about 1985. Okay, so we are now going on about 37 years, almost 38 years, that 401ks have started to show up in companies. So this isn't a new thing, right? This is something that we've actually done for quite a while. So if we've had almost 40 years, this should give us plenty of evidence to work through. Surprisingly, now I bet you if I really spent more hours, I actually spent a few hours preparing for this very episode. All right. I did a lot more research on this episode than probably almost any episode I have done in the past. But I want to make sure that I'm coming out with some real data. And I'm actually going to show you the articles and references that I found here for those of you that wonder if I'm just full of crap. Okay. All right. So what is that real median that they have there? So CNBC had it, but I mean, this got shared by several places here. This was actually just end of July when they were able to share this. Okay. So this is coming from Forbes. This was the 401k balance by age. I was trying to get everything about 2022 numbers. Now, this is out of 20 plus million people. Okay. This is nothing small. That's from Fidelity here. Vanguard has about 4.7 million people. So there's less there. Now, notice there's two different numbers here. There's average 401k balance and there's median 401k balance. What's the difference? Now, I love statistics. Even though I was a sociology major, statistics and finding correlations was one of my favorite things. This is what got me out of the industry in the first place of financial advising, is because I saw correlations and patterns, right? Well, when you look at average 401k balance, look at, for example, the 50 to 59-year-old, 206,000, but the median is 62,000. So which one do you go by? Now, understand that the lowest balance you can get on a 401k is zero, right? Where the highest could be anything. This is why you have to show a median versus average, and the median is actually more accurate. So for example, let's just say that you take people, let's just say there's seven people, right? Now, case of seven, a median means you take the middle person, right? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So if you look at it on the, I'm really trying to do my Spock hands here. You got the three over here and you got three over here. The middle person is number four, right? So you go by the number four person. It's not the average person. It's just the middle person, because there might be somebody over here with huge extreme numbers. Maybe they got millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars in their retirement plans. Well, these people have like 20,000 bucks, right? So what's this person got? Here's the difference, right? Say you're going to take average versus mean. Say that here, this counts as one, like $1, two, three, four, five, six. And then for the seventh person, this person instead has got $20. So you have one, two, three, four, five, $6. And this person has 20. So there's an extreme here. Well, if you go by the average here, you take 1, 2, 3, 4, that's already 10. If you've ever added those up, it's like bowling pins. 5 is 15. 6 means you have 21. Now, when you add that seventh, it doubles it to be like 41. So you take that 41 divided by 7 people to get the average, it comes up with a number of 6. So it'd say, oh, the average person has $6 out of these 7 people. But remember, the fourth person in line here, 1, 2, 3, 4, actually only had $4. So the median was actually 4. It was just because this one person had 20 bucks, threw off the averages, didn't it? Same thing here. The median is what that person that's right in the middle of the pack is what they have. So we go off the median number when you do this, not the average. The average is deceptive. I've actually quoted the average on this show saying the person has average $300,000. But in truth, the middle person has about 62,000 when they're in their 50s. Remember, when you're trying to live on 3% a year, that means you're living on a whopping 2,000 bucks a year. Now, Vanguard's got numbers with the 65 plus group. You got through 65, not just through 59. They got the average there. Look, the median is about $90,000. Again, living on 3%, $90,000 only leaves you about $2,700 a year that you're living on. That's the median person in retirement based on the 401k balances. Now, there could be other retirement accounts that are there, right? That's the thing, is that they might have an old IRA that's been sitting around. Maybe it's got 100,000 in it. Maybe that boosts it up to 180,000. Great. Still living on 3%. That leaves you with less than $6,000 a year you're living on. Now you're like, well, Chris, why do you keep saying 3%, 3%? Because we don't want to run out of money. Because the number one fear, and you'll see this the case, even with people that have saved up millions, still worry, what if I run out of money? What if I live too long, right? And 3% is also what the Wall Street Journal came out with even back in October of 2021. They said, hey, we redid the numbers. 3% is a closer number that you should be using for what you try to live on. That means if you have $1 million, you actually saved up. By the way, $1 million is really about 12 times the median 401k balance. 12 times. So if you happen to save up $1 million, you're in the top percentile. I was actually trying to find numbers on how many people actually have over $1 million in retirement savings. Instead, I found case studies, which I thought were more valuable, actually. So anyways, there are numbers out there, but I didn't go through everything. I apologize. Okay. Anyways, I don't want to hang on this point too long. Needless to say, people don't have much money in their 401ks. That's a big issue. And even if you add in more savings, now they talk about how many people are contributing right now. If you're younger, 8% people are contributing of their income. Older years, there's people contributing almost 13%. Now, I did take from one article. Now, here's the thing. This is the common quote you see from everybody, whether it's financial advisors or everyone. They say, we believe everybody should save 12 to 15%, right? 15% is a pretty common number. I'm going to show you 15% is not even close to being enough. Okay. Here's how. So I'm taking someone who's making, say, 100,000 a year, current income's 100,000 a year, not too far off from many of you guys listening to this. I know some of you are making more, some are making less. I wanted to do something kind of in the middle. 100,000 a year is not as much as it used to be, is it? So let's just say you're living on 100,000 a year. Your average return on your 401k is 6%. Remember, we talk about retirement plans there. Say you're 35 years old right now, and you're going to try to retire at 65. You've got 30 years. Now, I do this because I put the inflation rate at 5%. If you look at the 2010s till now, it's the last 12 years, the inflation, the real inflation rate from shadow stats is closer to about 9% average. But again, I want to go lower. I put it at 5%. That means about every 15 years, inflation doubles. Your lifestyle has to double. For your reality, you've probably noticed that's not far off, is it? 15 years ago, if you go back to 2007, you probably would say, yeah, my lifestyle might have been about half if I'm trying to live the same lifestyle as back in 2007 before the crash. Very different. So 5% is not too far off. And like we said, based on real rates of inflation, many people have experienced more since 2007. All right. So that means that if you have 30 years of retirement, you've got to double your money twice. That means you got to quadruple, right? Because if you want, and this says 90%, you're living on 90% lifestyle. So you're just trying to get out of that 100,000 a year now. You're just trying to live on 90,000 a year, just a little bit less. I know many of you say, I want at least the same lifestyle, if not better. That's common. But in traditional retirement plan, they actually say, well, 70, 80% to maintain lifestyle. You see, the calculator already wants you to live less. They want you to live on like 2/3 or 3/4 of your current income. We're saying, let's say 90%, because I've talked to a lot of you. Most of you don't want to get that big of a pay cut. So 90% means you want to live on 90,000 a year. Well, guess what? That's 7,500 a month. If that doubles in 15 years, that's 15,000 a month. That doubles again 15 years later for 30 years total. That's over 30,000 a month. And that's what it says. Monthly income, if you're trying to adjust for inflation, needs to be 32,415 a month. 32,000 a month. Can you believe that? By age 95, so 30 years later, 140,000. Now, some people might say, whoa, hold on, 140,000 a month? That's like 1.5 million a year in 60 years. If I'm 35 right now and I want to make this money last till I'm 95, you're saying I'm going to be living on, if I want to live a middle-class lifestyle, you're saying I'm going to be living on about 1.5 million a year. Guess what? I actually went back. You can look it up too. Looked at the stats with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, looked it up. The average, so I have 2021, the average income, household income, mind you, was 79,900. So I went back 60 years to 1961. And guess what it was? It was 5,700 a year. People were living on 5,700 bucks a year. Now the annual income, which we're not saying it's necessarily a better lifestyle right now, is 79,900. That is a 14X, 14 times what it is. Not too far off from the numbers I'm running here, which of course, after 1960s, in the 1970s, we were taking off the gold standard. They were able to print more money and inflation started skyrocketing from the 70s and 80s and onward. So anyways, I know I'm throwing out a lot of stuff here, but I want you to know that I'm not just pulling out numbers out of thin air. I'm trying to be very fair on this trial with our mutual funds. So you're going to need that much. Well, to do that, they say you need to have $10 million saved up at age 65. Now, the question is, how much do you have to save per month to get to $10 million in 30 years? Now, there's a retirement calculator for this as well, calculator.net. These are retirement calculators. How can you save for retirement? There's the number right there. It already input it for you. And it said I put it the same 6%, again, taking out fees and everything else. I could put 7%. In fact, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to make it 7%. So just for you guys, okay? In fact, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to make this 7% here. I'm going to change these numbers right on the spot just to play devil's advocate. I'm going to make it 7%. Look, now you only need about 8.8 million only. Okay. So 8.8 million goes right in here, 7% average return. Calculate what do you need to save per month? Assuming you get a 7% return, you need to save $7,387 a month. So if you want to live on $7,500 a month, you got to save almost $7,500 a month. Does this sound like last week's episode by chance? It should. This is what ticked me off when I was running these numbers as a financial advisor. I'm like, this does not look good. Because a lot of people did want more. They wanted at least the same or better lifestyle than what they were making as adults. This is not anything too outlandish to expect, is it? Well, guess what? That's what you got to do. You got to save every year $91,000. This is horrible. This is so bad. Okay. This means pretty much just save everything. That's what they're saying. If you, whatever you want to live on per month now in today's dollars, save that, because we're just trying to keep up with inflation. Even though it shows stocks beating inflation in this scenario, still to live on enough, especially if you want to live to age 95, I made it 30 years. Actually, you know what? They changed the numbers on me by default again. That's for by age 85. I'm actually make that expectancy 95. That's going to make it more. Anyways, I just threw the numbers off. Regardless, that means you need to save a lot. Okay. So that's one of the big things you have to watch out for, is that if you want your money to last you, you got to save a ton of money to do that in these mutual funds. This alone should say, wait a minute. Well, how are people doing today? Well, we already know. Look, the median balance, about 90,000. Is it no wonder why people don't have enough after you factor in inflation? 90,000 might have seemed great 30 years ago. And even then, it probably wasn't fantastic, but it didn't seem too bad, did it? Here's the problem. Now, people are relying on Social Security. What's the average Social Security you're getting? Right here, about $1,600 a month. About $20,000 a year is what the average person right now is getting in Social Security. $20,000 is not going to bridge that gap, right? If you're trying to live on that same few thousand dollars a year from your retirement plan, right? Let's just even say it's $10,000 a year. Let's just say you happen to have $300,000 saved up now, right? Let's just say you're above the average. Still, $10,000 plus $20,000 gives you $30,000 a year. So how are people making it? Shouldn't we be seeing more evidence of this happening? Well, I wanted to look that up too. I said, hey, how many people are over the age of 65 still working? Here's the workforce. They actually believe that by 2030, the number of 75 and older will pretty much double, right? The number of workers, the percentage of workers. By 2030, the youngest baby boomer will turn 65. So now all the people over the age of 65 will be baby boomers. This is a scary statistic where it's saying it's going to double. Right now, currently, 22% of retirees are working. One quarter of them have their own business. I think that's actually a cool stat, that they're trying to do their own thing, work their own hours. And that's what they're saying. Many of them, some of them are just doing this because they don't want to be bored in retirement. But many of them, how many of them you think are still working because they need to work? Maybe they're trying to get that money to last, slow down the spending of the retirement plans so that when they're forced to stop working, they've got hopefully enough. That's what leads me to this next thing here. So Wall Street Journal, just like I said yesterday, it's like, here's what a $2 million retirement looks like in America. Funny thing with these retirees, most of them didn't have quite 2 million. But I'm going to talk about these stories. I want to share these with you because I think this is very important, because it's really interesting to see how they're living and what else helped them out. You'll find many of these cases, they didn't make the retirement from their retirement plans. Now, I will show you how some of them actually did save up. They even give an example what somebody saved over the career to be able to get to $1 million in her retirement plan. But I'll also show you some other stats that go with it too. Anyways, let's go back to the Wall Street Journal article right here. Okay, Look at this. It talks about many Americans are trying to retire. They give four examples. I'm going to move right to first John, who does have $2 million saved up. His annual spending, they'll show you right here, is $144,000 a year. This is not too far off, some people, depending on where you live. Now, this is a good lifestyle. I think $144,000 could be great. Definitely, I think there you could have some freedom right there. Now, it says, when John Fitzgerald retired as a police lieutenant about 3 years ago, after 33 years on the force, his deferred compensation plan was worth about $1.7 million. So good job, John. Like, I think that's great. This is similar to when we had Dan Markert on here too, where he was a retired colonel, also had a retirement plan. The very similar situation here. Now, these days, due to the stock market pullback, it is worth now $1.3 million. Again, this was written just as of August 2022. I don't believe the market's done yet. I think you're going to see some interesting stories that come up after this. Now, this 61-year-old husband and father of three is concerned that he is counting on that money to help fund his lifestyle. Here's what a quote from him. "I see my hard-earned money slipping away every day," he said. Now, he considers himself fortunate as he has roughly about, get this, $6,900 monthly pension after taxes and insurance. So he's getting almost $7,000 a month after taxes and insurance from his pension. Understand, his pension is helping him retire. He's spending $144,000 a year. That's almost $7,000 a month, gives him more than half of that right there. So again, now, how many of you are counting on pensions? I would wager that most of everybody on this show, listening to this show right now, don't even have hope of a pension, okay? So already he's in a category as a former government employee. He's in a category that most of us aren't even in. Now, he has about another $350,000 saved in other accounts, bank accounts, college savings funds. See, there's that extra cash we talked about. So far, he and his wife, Jill, who's 58, haven't made any changes to the portfolio. Interesting. Even though the market's gone down, they haven't made changes. She works as a writer and editor and has saved about $400,000 for retirement. Understand, she's still working and saving. The couple is feeling the effects of inflation. They help pay the college tuition for their youngest son, a bill they expect to rise roughly 5% to about $35,000 this fall. So they're still paying for college. Even in retirement, things haven't got cheaper necessarily. In total, they estimate they pay about $12,000 monthly expenses, which is what they said. They estimate, just so you know, including mortgage payments for their Maryland home and a Delaware beach house. This couple has about $400,000 in debt with their mortgages and cars. Okay. Now, this is not too far off from many people that reach out to us. This is a very common situation. Already, I can already tell that this guy's situation could be completely reversed and get a lot more hope than what he's doing. They've cut the amount of groceries they buy because their bill has jumped up $600 a month from about $300 a month due to inflation. They have eliminated favorites such as bag salad, as the roughly $4.59 per bag isn't worth the recent $2 price increase, Mr. Fitzgerald said. So think about this. They're saying, oh, we got to cut back on our salads. Now, it's bag salad. I'm not saying this is the healthiest thing in the world. So they're getting rid of some of the conveniences. Hopefully, they're buying more fresh produce. That could help. But they might be saying, you know what? Let's buy the cheaper stuff. Let's buy the cheaper processed foods. Oh, well, now we have hope of less life expectancy. That could solve your retirement woes. Okay. So they're trying to save $2 of a bag of salad. This is how, remember, they've got $2 million and they're trying to save $2 a bag. This is the kind of reality that's hitting people, even that are above and beyond. Just so you know, $2 million is over 20 times what the median person has in their retirement accounts right now. And they have a pension. And look at how they're scared. 20 times plus a pension plus Social Security. I haven't mentioned that yet. And that's because he's not taking any yet because he's too young. But that's another thing they can have coming in. Higher prices aren't stopping Mr. Fitzgerald from his volunteering schedule, however. Good for you, Mr. Fitzgerald. I'm happy that you are volunteering. He volunteers for a baseball team. His wife knows he loves it, so she lets him do it. But here's the thing. Looking ahead, Mr. Fitzgerald would like to sell his Maryland home in about 4 years and move to Florida to save on taxes because he's worried about his retirement plan because you get eaten alive in taxes. That's the horrible thing. If you try to pull out $144,000 a year, push it up in a higher tax bracket, you're worried about taxes. Great example. James Compton. This man has $1.5 million. Now, he's 84 years old, just recently fully retired. He was a CEO of Chicago Urban League for more than 15 years ago, but he also stayed on nonprofit boards and corporate stuff. He was getting paid. He finally got aged out at the age of 84. Fascinating. He earned about $150,000 a year while he was on those boards too. So this guy was making good money even after age 65. Now, he's trying to stay active. He used to spend $125 a week out on lunches out with contacts and people who sought advice. These days, due in part to rising prices and because one of his favorite lunch spots closed, He spends about $60 and goes out about twice a week instead of five times. So he's cut back his spending. He does still give to his charities, which I love. That's great. But again, reducing the amount because of inflation and the impact of the stock market pullback on his portfolio. He's saying, I got to cut back because the stock market is hurting me and I'm worried about inflation. Now, there's a pattern here with both these scenarios. He still donates about $8,000 a year to charities. He valued his portfolio $1.5 million, 70% of which are invested in stock mutual funds. As an 84-year-old, I know this from being a financial advisor before. I'm not securities licensed now, so I can't give this advice. But someone who was 84 that said they had 70% of the stock market, we would absolutely, even though we're fans of the stock market, we'd say, do not do that. That's too much. Lately, however, in the last, let's just say since the recession, people have been just going very aggressive in the stock market because it's made so much. It's not gone down until recently. So we've seen a lot of these people gambling with their money, trying to keep so much in stocks. This is a very big concern. And I even know financial advisors are recommending staying at least 70% or more in the stock market, even if you're in 70s and 80s. This is a concern for me. Okay. That's, I think people should be have their pants sued off of them for making bad recommendations. Even Susie Orman used to give the advice of saying, whatever your age is, minus from 100, that's what percentage you should be in stocks. So if he's 84, he should only have 16% in stocks, not 70. But again, I'm not his financial advisor. That's a whole nother conversation. Now, 70% he says invest in stock mutual funds. He's concerned about market volatility and the general climate of uncertainty right now. He says, quote, I should probably take less risk, but I still sleep well at night, he said. He's also 84 years old. He should be sleeping well at night. He's probably dang tired. He also probably knows he's going to die soon. So if you get $1.5 million, he's probably thinking, what's the likelihood I'm going to live to 95? Might happen, but might not. Plus, he's got other stuff helping, right? As interest rates have risen, he's concerned about the $200,000 adjustable rate mortgage he's still paying off on his 3-bedroom Chicago townhome. He's unsure what the loan rate's going to do, so he's looking at his options to refinance. He did advise, don't go into retirement with a mortgage, he said. Well, why does he have one? This guy has gotten paid $150,000 a year. He's got $200,000 left on his mortgage. Why didn't he just pay it off then? Why didn't he just use his cash to pay it off? I don't know. Oh, but look, Social Security checks help him pay for his townhome's upkeep that he estimates to be about $2,000 a year for his upkeep. Oh my goodness, that's nothing. That's nice. Devotes more of his time to physical fitness now than he could when he was working 4 days a week. He'll head to the local health club, lift weights, and take a cardio class. Good for you, man. That's awesome. My doctor tells me I'm in perfect health, so I plan to keep learning and connecting with others as long as I can, he said. Good. That's awesome. I think you should live a happy, fulfilling life. But the thing is, he's living out of scarcity. Notice he's still got these fears. And again, $1.5 million as an 84-year-old. More. That's almost 20 times what the average person has. Let's go to Judy Hall. I love this one. She has $1.8 million, spending $110,000 a year. She retired in 2005 at 58. She worked for Berkshire Hathaway. She had $2 million at one point. She was wondering what to do. She traveled around to see retired people, wanted to know what they did in retired because she's a self-admitted workaholic. Well, she says that she returned to her Manhattan apartment. She increased her volunteer work, which I love, organized conference and filled in an employee position on leave. I became a church's liaison to a homeless shelter. So she's doing great stuff, right? They've called her the Uber volunteer and she loves that. Now, here's the thing. 5 years ago, she sold her 1-bedroom apartment she bought. Now her 1-bedroom apartment was in Manhattan, mind you, and then bought a $450,000 condo in Naples, Florida. So she basically downsized. If you think about Manhattan and the prices there. Now, quote, this is what she says. I need to figure out what my next act is. Like many people, they're wondering what to do next. I'm not a person who can sit around. She is tutoring and doing some stuff there. Now, she's owned a beach house in Ocean City, New Jersey. She frequently entertains guests, including a group of high school friends who printed camp cocktail t-shirts. Awesome. Now, let me get down to this part. Here, this is important. She says throughout her 37 years, this is Genry or Berkshire Hathaway, right? She saved 6% a year in her 401k, where she received a 6% company match. She amassed $1 million in retirement. So remember I said she got to that $1 million mark. Now you might say, oh, that's pretty good. 37 years, pretty much like we said, even before 401k plans, right? Actually, she probably had a 401k plan before because she was actually, if you looked at what she did, she was a human resource executive. Now, you might say, now I almost went into human resources. With my sociology degree, I was looking at going into human resources myself, among several other careers. They don't get paid much normally. But if you're an executive, and if you're an executive in Manhattan, I wanted to look it up. What does that person make nowadays? Average median income for an executive in New York, $305,972. That could range anywhere from $219,000 on the lower end to $413,000. So $200,000 to $400,000 a year, $300,000 is the median for someone in an executive position as an HR manager. $300,000 a year. This woman was not paid a small amount. So when she says she puts in away 6%, got a 6% match, I'm not saying that she was putting away $18,000, getting another $18,000 match. She probably wasn't making that much because she retired from there several years ago, right? About 15 years ago is when she retired. But even if you cut that in half, making $150,000 a year, putting away 6%, that's still $9,000 a year plus $9,000 a year match, $18,000 a year for nearly 40 years. Yeah, you better have $1 million. That means you hardly made any interest. You see what I'm saying here? Now, I'm not saying she made $150,000 the whole time. I know there's inflation and everything else. My point is this, is that she was well above the average person that's going and out working. And when I say average, I mean the median person, the median income person. Remember, the median household income, not individual income, that's more like $60,000 a year. Median household income is about $80,000 a year, $79,900 right now. That's not a ton. She was making a lot more than the average. And she also moved to downsize. You can already tell that. Going from Manhattan to Florida, she's definitely living cheaper. Now, back to her story. Here's what I love. So she had, like I said, with retirement, she had $1 million that she had amassed by retirement. Now look at this. She swapped her pension for a lump sum added of another $1 million to the balance. Now I've seen this with several of our clients who get pensions. This is especially true of those that are more baby boomer, older baby boomer. Again, I don't know how many of us will actually have pensions. If you're more like my age, if you're 30s and 40s right now, even 50s, pension may not be even on the radar. But she had a pension and she was able to get another $1 million on top of it. She didn't save it. She had a pension. Again, something that's not available to most people throws off the numbers, doesn't it? Although Ms. Hall retired shortly before the 2008 financial crisis, her long-term investments have been high enough to replace most of the money she has withdrawn from her savings, leaving her now with $1.8 million of the $2 million she retired with. So she's eating into her money. Despite having $2 million, living on $110,000 a year, she's still eating it. And this is even with markets coming back up. She does say she spends more these days on food, gas, and her Honda Accord and airfare to Roanoke. When she left New York, her spending declined to about $110,000 a year from $200,000. Bing, told you. She receives $25,000 in Social Security. Add that to the balance of what she was getting, right? And donates about $30,000 a year. So basically, whatever she gets in Social Security, she's donating, right? She has two homes. She rarely travels, but she hopes to visit Ireland and Australia next year. Otherwise, she said she's more interested in downsizing than spending. I don't want more stuff. Amen. I don't blame you. And you don't need more stuff. That's great. But notice that, again, millionaires needing to downsize, concerned about inflation, balances are declining more than what they're spending. And she's not spending an obscene amount. Guys, this is not a ton. $110,000 a year is just not as much as it used to be. Now, my fourth and final one here is Bob Bradley. Saved $1 million. I love this guy because look at his spending. $92,543. Doesn't Bob just look like a guy that actually knows exactly what he's spending to the penny? He just looks like that. His polo shirt and his face says it all. I actually think this guy is pretty cool. Now, his retirement came sooner than he imagined. He always thought he'd keep going. He's 73 years old right now. Worked as a quality assurance manager for a jet engine manufacturer. 2015, he left the company at age 66 over differences with his manager. Still works as a consultant. So he even would work and travel and do all that kind of stuff, even during the pandemic. He actually even came out here to Park City last year, apparently. Spent 10 weeks, earned $40,000 before expenses, working 10 weeks as a consultant. Now, his routine is working out of the gym, cooking. He loves fixing friends' cars, works around the house. He owns with his wife, Yolanda Bradley, 65, painting and making minor repairs. Now, notice about their lifestyle here. He says, always been rewarding helping his clients. Again, loves to keep working. And he likes to help people when he can. Now, despite the unexpected retirement that he had, he said the transition wasn't difficult, in part because he threw himself into launching a local investment club. Look at this. This guy wants to do investing. He serves on the board of the Austin, Texas chapter of the American Association of Individual Investors, which teaches members about the markets and financial planning. He manages his own money. Hey, Bradley, good for you. That's awesome. Glad you manage your own money. Interesting, he's talking about financial planning. Now, remember, this is a guy that's retired. He's got some consulting jobs on the side, but he's got $1 million. And he's got more than people that are probably attending this kind of event, right? He's organizing this and doing these kind of things. Now, he said when he retired in 2015, his 401k balance was $990,000. Despite withdrawals, the value rose to $1.015 million by December 31st before falling to $965,000 due to the gyrating market and distributions of the IRS that requires when he's age 72. Because if you recall, age 72, you have to start taking money out. So he was required to take out $38,000. So thanks to the gyrating market, which I just, whenever I hear gyrating, I think of like dancing, like, you know, like crazy rave stuff, like gyrating and gyrating market. And the distribution of the IRS that he had to take out, it went down to $965,000. So now his balance is starting to tick downward. But Mr. Bradley said he isn't worried. He says, quote, "I have the confidence of having survived to this point. This is a bad time in the market, but it should come back." Yeah, I agree. At some point it will. But when and what will it cost you? Right, Mr. Bradley? That's my question for you. Now, he said his wife, who works in the wine industry, has two small investment accounts but never saved much, in part because her career was interrupted by job changes and whatnot. So remember, his wife's still working. He figures the couple's home was worth about $800,000 and they owe $138,000 on mortgage. IRA account has about 70% in stocks, 12% in bonds, 14% in cash, 4% in commodities. Again, this is bad. One, even the 12% in bonds, I would not trust that would not go down. The 14% cash, great. 4% commodities, depending on the commodities, might do okay. But this guy is still at risk for the market tanking. He said the hardest part of retiring earlier than planned was figuring out how to finance living expenses from ages 66 to 70. He delayed claiming Social Security at 70 to secure a larger benefit of $44,000 a year. That's more than double the median Social Security payments that people are getting. They have maintained their retirement lifestyle, but still, inflation is a concern, they say. This year, they're spending $9,200 a month, up from $8,400 in 2021. In June, they paid for $231. They talk about all their bills and stuff, double the monthly averages for some of their bills. Grocery bills are up 10%. This guy, he's got this down in the numbers. Medical premiums have declined because Ms. Bradley was able to switch from a private policy to Medicare. So thank goodness for Medicare and welfare bailouts. Notice that many cases, and this is what's going to be true for more Americans, is Medicare, Social Security need to keep going for these people to survive. Otherwise, people won't have enough. This is my point, all right? My point is this. These people supposedly did it well, did it right, yet they're not there. This is just like what happened to my dad, who had a higher than the average 401k balance. Yet I had to tell him, "Dad, based on your lifestyle and consumption without Social Security, you have 5 years left to live. That's it." Now, Social Security helped, and then he got Medicare and everything else. It's helped him survive. But my dad had to work into his 70s before he was forced into retirement due to health reasons. And yet now is still alive and kicking much later than he expected. He's living longer than expected. And that's rough on him, guys. Like, he's really like counting pennies, literally counting his money to make sure it still lasts, make sure he's got enough to take care of all the hospital and medical bills that he's got now. This is not the life that I want for you. All right. This is not what I want at all. Now, I know this one went long. I showed you a lot here, but if we're going to put this on trial, we got to do it right. And the truth is, it hasn't worked. People have been saving. It hasn't worked. And I know that if you want to live on $90,000 a year, you're not going to be saving $90,000 a year so that you can retire, right? If you're trying to start from scratch, that's not going to work. Now, you even have a case where many situations I've seen that have reached out to us, people have had real estate actually help their portfolio. If it weren't for the real estate, they would be in trouble too. This is my point. You cannot require on financial planning and financial advising, focusing on mutual funds, which is all they really offer, to give you the retirement you deserve. You can even survive, at least have a decent survival, right? A decent lifestyle. And when I say decent, I don't even mean a luxurious lifestyle like some people would claim that you would have. No, even just having a general middle-class lifestyle requires you to save millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Just like in that example I showed you, unless you get this massively higher interest rate, you got to have like $10 million plus dollars to live on less than $100,000 a year. And I know many of you reached out saying you want at least $10,000 a month, not $7,500 a month. Understand that if you got 30 years of retirement, you better have at least 10, really 12 to $15 million that you've saved up in those plans. Do the math. Do you think it's going to work? And you can use the calculators I use too. It doesn't look pretty. This is why as a financial advisor, I had to manipulate numbers. That's why I had to put a higher market return than 7%. Even though I knew the truth, I would put more like 8% or 10% going with the quoted averages of the S&P, right? I would put in 10% or 12% to give people hope. I would put inflation at 2% I would even put it at 3, even though they recommend 3. I would put it at 2 because 3 even didn't look very pretty. See, guys, if anything, if we're putting this on trial here, look at the witnesses. Even the people that should have done well, most cases are not relying on these. Even the best. What makes you think that you're going to be any better? What makes you think your life will be any better doing the same old thing? And we're going to hear this more and more and more as you get the baby boomers getting in the next 10 years, the youngest baby boomer hits 65. You're going to say, oh my goodness, there is a problem here. We got a massive retirement problem. There's not enough money. We got to vote in more ways to bail out our retirees because they don't have enough. Listen, the answer is not bailing you out. It's not focusing on living on the government nipple, right? So to speak, right? We're not supposed to be sucking off the government, which is just taking taxes and money from everybody else, trying to consume off everyone because we can't be financially self-reliant. You want to be financially independent, not just independent, even just self-reliant. This requires you to do something different. And that is what we're going to do next week. Because again, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but next week we're going to go into what are those answers? What do those numbers look like? And do they actually work? Have they been proven to work? What's the trial case for doing something like real estate investing? Does it work? That's what we're going to talk about next week, guys. So I know you're going to have to hang in another 7 days to wait for this, but tune in next week. We're going to talk about what's the alternative because I'm not going to leave you hanging, but I do want you to leave asking yourself, why am I doing this? If you're doing this kind of financial planning, why are you still doing it? Even with all the evidence against you, everything working against you, why are you still doing it? What makes you think you're the exception? That's the question I want you guys to ponder this week. Go and make it a wonderful and ponderous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.